Lord was present to heal them. And they brought many, and they laid them where Jesus was, and he reached out and he touched them, and they were healed. So the Lord was present. When the Lord is present, things powerful can happen. It changes everything when the Lord is here. Down through the decades, down through the years, we have somehow in this country, maybe around the world too, through our modernized interpretation of Scripture, we have learned how to have church without his presence. You can't really have a powerful encounter without the presence of the Lord. And he was present to heal them. So this morning I'm going to talk about a miracle, because I believe this morning that there are people here this morning that need miracles in their life. I look around the room. It's miraculous that Tracy's here this morning. My wife Kathy is a miracle. Doctors gave up on her a long time ago. But she's walking into things right now that medical science said that she probably could never attain. They limited her. How many knows that people and science will limit you? Does anybody believe that? And I believe in somehow in this nation that we have learned how to live below God's expectations of us. Below our potential. For he, Ephesians 3:20, for he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can think or imagine. For the Lord is able to do exceedingly and abundantly in you above your wildest imagination and thoughts. Because it is God that worketh in you both to will and do your good pleasure. Yes, if we listen to the opinions of people, if we listen to the opinions of religion, we will stay distant, we'll stay beneath what God has already ordained and purposed that we walk and that we live in. Because John 10 says, Jesus has come to give life. We all know that. That's a given. He gave life when he gave his life on the cross. But not just life. Not just an existence. There are people here today in this room who are just making it. God don't want you just to make it. He wants you to enjoy the abundant life that can only be found walking in him. Well, how? Because God sees something in you bigger than you see in yourself. Millions of people see this as an acorn. They said it's an acorn. Jim Liske at Prison Fellowship pulling that out and saying, what is that? Everybody in the room said it's an acorn. Hey, good. 100%. You got it right. But what God sees is what's beneath. Beneath this, God sees something in you that you don't see in yourself. And many of you right here today are not walking in that because you're living by other people's expectations and other people's limits on your life. Then what God is saying to you, I just want you to open the sky and allow me to do in you what only I can do in you. Amen. Because a miracle. People need the Lord many times because there were miracles. People followed Jesus many times because they needed a miracle. They needed a touch from God. Some people needed to follow Jesus because they wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to be imparted by divine wisdom. Some people, listen, followed Jesus because he was different. And he was sort of like the rebel. But he was a rebel with cause. There's a difference, because what I mean by that is that he rebelled, seemingly didn't do what the religious expectations and the limits that religion had placed on him. He stepped outside the bounds of religious mediocrity. He stepped outside the bounds of complacency and apathy. And he turned the world upside down. And he shook the existence of the core religion as it was known then. Because never a man ever spake like this man. Never a man ever spake like this man. No man can do these things except he be from God. So everywhere he went, miracles. Miracles. There are miracles in this room. Look around this room. Open your eyes. There's miracles. Hannah's here because God placed a hand upon her, and he used medical science, and God can use whatever he wants to because he's God. If he wants to use mud in the eye, or if he wants to use whatever means he wants to, he can use that. But God is God. And I want to say to you this morning that people sought the Lord sometimes because they wanted to catch him up in something. They wanted to discover something wrong. They wanted to discover a falsity. They wanted to entrap him. They wanted to catch him in some kind of religious ensnarement. So they were after him for that. And then some people followed him just because of what they could get out of the moment. Some people just needed something and they wanted something for the moment. And there were those people who really followed him because they needed a miracle. I'm going to say God is a God of present. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus I read about in the Bible is the same Jesus I declare unto you today. He's the same Jesus the Apostle Paul declared, the Apostle Peter declared, and listen, thousands and thousands since has declared. He is the same God. He hasn't changed. His love hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. His works hasn't changed. When do we need to start realizing there's a God who's able to do in your life above what you can imagine? So some of you see an acorn, but God sees an oak. God sees something in you. And I've given a lot of these out here in this congregation. Some of them have kept them, and maybe some of them have fed them to the birds. I don't know. But this morning, God has a plan. So you that have your Bible, I'm going to turn to one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the book of Mark. Is it okay if I just be real? So for the next few minutes that the Lord has you in His presence, I want you to listen to what the Lord is saying this morning. Hear what the Let everyone that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. I shared this not too long ago, and everybody liked the movie War Room last night. Did you like the movie War Room? It was about what? Prayer. It's about prayer. How things can change because of prayer. Amen. How true is that? How true is that? But you know what? This morning in this audience, Chris, there's basically three kinds of people. And not just in this room, but general. And I shared this here a while back in our midweek services. Three kinds of people. People who make things happen. People who watch things happen. And people who wonder what happened. This morning, I believe there's a lot of people here in this room who make things happen. God uses them to make things happen. When they step into the room, something changes. The atmosphere changes. The anointing creates an atmosphere for you to minister and preach the gospel. And then there are people who watch things happen, who come, and they're spectators. And week after week, they come, and they only watch what happens, and they leave unchanged. I'm saying there's something wrong with that picture. I've always wondered that. How so many things can happen in the presence of the Lord, and yet only those who open their heart and receive the miraculous, and yet there are many people who leave the same way. It was the same way when Jesus was there, when he was here walking physically on the earth. And there are people who stand around after it's all over with, after the dust settled, they just scratch their head and they say, I wonder what happened. I don't understand that. Well, we're all amazed. We're all amazed by what God can do. How many knows that God is amazing? Is there anybody like him? Who could you liken him to? Who could you compare him to? There's no comparison. There's nobody equal. There's nobody on the same scale. He is the Lord. Besides him, there is nobody else. Just simple. So Mark chapter 3. Now, bear with me, okay? And somebody can close us out. But we're going to talk about one of the seven miracles that was done inside of a synagogue. I want to tell you something. Regardless of what people does, Jesus does miracles every day. And they're not in a four-square building laid upon a foundation of brick and mortar with carpet on the floor. Jesus did very few of his miracles that he performed in a synagogue or what was called a church then. And they still call it in the Jewish Orthodox a synagogue. But yet, think about this. Jesus decided to go to church one day. Man, I like that. I like it when the Lord shows up. Amen? Because when God shows up, he shows off. He can show off. He amazes me. So if you have your Bible and you want to stand, stand, because it's not about me. You're not standing for me. You're standing because you reverence God's word. Now, if you can't stand, that's okay. We're not going to be religious about it, okay? Mark 3. And this is found, this same miracle is found in three Gospels. Matthew 12, 13. We'll look at that just in a minute. And Luke 6 and 6. But we're going to look at Mark 3. The Bible says, and he entered the synagogue again. He came to church. You know, a lot of times if Jesus showed up to church, nobody wouldn't even know that he was there. I missed that one. You missed that one. Did you hear what I said? A lot of times the Lord is there in the midst of us, and we don't even know he's here. We don't even know that he's there. The Lord is walking these aisles this morning. He's walking in and out of the pews. And if you felt like a goosebump fall over your elbow or your arm, guess what? That wasn't the breeze from the air conditioning blowing on you. God told me a long time ago, that was God's breath breathing up on us, letting us know that his presence is near. Why is he here today? He's everywhere. He's at Zion. He's at other ministries all over the area. And he's here too because God's everywhere. But this is why he's here. Because he said in the book of Matthew, where as many as two or three will gather together in my name, I'll be there in your midst. I'll be there in the middle of you. I like it when he's in the middle. When we've not pushed him over to the corner somewhere. He's still there, Jesus. I like it when we exalt and honor and lift him up and he's in the midst of us. So here we go. And he entered the synagogue. And there was a man there with a withered hand. Or they say withered hand. So, they watched him. It's interesting the day here. Because there was a group here that was present that was made themselves known that they were there. And they were Pharisees. They were the religious, at that time, experts of the law. They lived by the code of the law. They lived by the rules. They didn't follow the rules. But they lived by what they thought was the rule. Huh. Okay. Everybody with me? Please be with me. If I lose you right now, I'm hurting. All right. Is everybody here? I heard one person say they were here. So, Lord, who are the rest of these people here? Okay. So they watched him closely. This is why they watched him. Whether he would heal anybody on the Sabbath day. Interesting. Interesting. So whether he would heal anybody on the Sabbath day so they might accuse him of something wrong. Verse 3. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. One of the translations says, rise up. Stand forth. Come from where you are. Get up. Stand up. Sometimes in order to, for God to activate, for powerful, miraculous things to be activated in our life, we have to be a participant in that part of it. We have to exert faith. We have to believe. We have to trust that if I stand up and that my need is existing right now, I'm standing in front of the one who can change the course of my life and my destiny forever. How many believe that? So the Bible said, step forward. Then he said to them, It is lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill. But they kept silent. Jesus said, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good and not to kill? Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good and not do evil, to save life or to kill life? Well, they couldn't say anything. How could they say anything here? So the Bible said, verse 5, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. We have something here in ministry called it's stretching time. It's time to extend your faith. It's time to broaden your faith. It's time to remove the stakes of your tent and spread out. It's time to reach your faith toward God. It's time to do something bigger than what you thought you could do. It's time to believe God for something bigger than what you believed before. How many knows that God is all about the stretch? Amen. I haven't lost you, have I? Okay. So stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored as whole as the other. And the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. Three interests here, right here in these scriptures that we read here. Just hang on for a few minutes. I'm not here to bore you. I'm here to inspire you. And I want God to do that because I can't do that in myself. It takes the power of God present to be able to do that. So hang on here. And by the way, Leanne, is Leanne still here? I'm so thankful for you, girl. I mean, Whitney, I'm sorry. I don't know why. You know, I've been calling you. I don't know why I've been doing that all week long. But she's one of our UVA students, a senior, UVA wise. So, man, it's awesome to see you all. And I appreciate Bree and Joe and all the ones that's involved out there. Clay that's going out and reaching out to our kids, UVA wise. Three interests were present here in this synagogue. First of all, we know this is powerful. The Pharisees, everybody say Pharisees. The Pharisees knew the law. They knew the law. But they were avoiding the reality, the realness of what this was about. There's people who know a lot of scripture, but knowing scripture and doing scripture are two different things. How many knows that? Because it's not by what you say, it's by what you do. When we stand before the Lord, it's not going to be by what we say. It's going to be how we live and what we do in front and around those who are gathered as we present the gospel, because we all have been called to do that. Go into all the world. That was a commission. Jesus told us to do that. But here in this synagogue, there was present the Pharisees. And notice this. These people were more interested in trying to find Jesus, catch him up in an error in the law so they could accuse him, because they hated him. He messed up their religious party. He messed up the religious agenda. He wasn't somebody they could contain or they could control. And so it disturbed them. It bothered them. It created a jealousy, a dissension there. So they were always trying to accuse him and find something wrong with him. But these men were more interested in keeping the traditions than doing this, showing compassion. So I want to say something to you this morning. When our life is more about keeping our traditions than it is showing compassion, then we have erred concerning the law of love. Because compassion is the action of love. Love is more than a term. It's more than a word. It's more than a vocabulary term. It's more than just something we throw out there. Love needs action. And when we give it action, it's called compassion. Everybody say compassion. So they were more interested in keeping their traditions than they were showing their compassion. These were the Pharisees. And they came to the service, but they were spectators that day. There are people here this morning that you've come, and maybe you're here, and maybe you're here because you're looking for a miracle. And maybe you're here today because you've heard about all the carryings on down here. Like we maybe sacrifice people on altars, and we handle wild serpents. And listen, we won't step on serpents. I'm not interested in handling any. But I know where that story got started, because one time I ministered a message here on the python spirit. So several years ago in school, Grant, I brought a python to church. That was probably not a good idea. But he didn't bite. He wasn't venomous. And he was a pet. And I got him out of the tank, and everybody went, woo, you know, like screamed, don't get near me. Don't get near me. Listen, people got excited that day. Maybe I need to get more snakes out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, man, I've never heard so much action out of you, not since I've been going. Just mention a snake and everybody goes crazy. Wow. It's crazy. Even Clay don't like snakes. Even Kelly don't like snakes. And I'd say Josh don't like them either. Rick says the only good snake is a dead snake. But here this morning, they were present. They were present, and they were there as a spectator to see what was going on, to see what was happening, to see what they could find out wrong. And there are actually people who do attend a worship service just in order to find something wrong about it. I'm sorry. I wish we were all just about it. But listen, the devil's going to show you something wrong. That's why I tell people when they're the first time, I said, you got to come more than one time, because the enemy's going to show you something the first time that is going to rock your world, and you're going to leave just blah, 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 blah. Come more than once. So people were there just to see what Jesus was doing and what he was about. They wanted to catch him up in a trap. So there are people who were spectators. Are you a spectator this morning in the crowd? Are you here just to see something? Are you here to experience something? Are you here to embrace something powerful in your life? So the Pharisees were there. Everybody say the Pharisees. And the man who needed a miracle, the man who needed healing. There are people here present today. I know on the authority of God's word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, there are people in this room today who need a miracle in your life. You need a job, and I don't know where the job's coming from. Lord, I need a financial miracle in my life. Lord, I need a miracle in my family. Oh, I've got a relative that's strung out on drugs, and they're going down a wrong road, and they're spiraling down, ready to head off of a cliff. And God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle in my marriage, Lord. I need a miracle in my children. I need a miracle. Well, guess what? You showed up at the right place at the right time. And I promise you, if you'll stretch forth your hand and you believe, the hand won't return empty. You need a miracle. This man needed a miracle. He needed healing. Whew. And then third, everybody say Jesus. Jesus was there present. And he was there present because he was willing and he was able to heal. He wasn't intimidated by the man's deformity. He wasn't intimidated by the man's withered hand. Although this man, being where he was quite a thing, because really, legally, he couldn't have been in the synagogue because he was something less than what people thought he was. There are people who have stayed out of church, stayed out of ministry all your life because you have disqualified yourself. You have put limits on your life because of some situation you've come out of, something in your past, something in your present, but something has said that you don't measure up. God created you and invested tremendous in you so you could measure up. Amen. So Jesus was there. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus let the works that he was about speak for himself. A lot of times we want the things we say to speak for what we do. But Jesus really had action first and compassion, and then the miraculous happened. He reached into the hearts of humanity. He met them where they met. He walked into a leper community and he loved them. Nobody else had done that before. Listen, he reached out to the community of those who were left out. Those who had been placed limits on their life by religion and tradition. But here, Jesus was defying all of that. And he showed compassion. And I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to take this wrong. But Jesus was willing to even break the rules in order to go to the one that needed that. Matthew chapter 12 gives an interesting part of Scripture to us. And if you have your Bible, if you don't have one, that's okay. But I'm going to share Matthew 12 and 13. 12 and 13. Is somebody still with me? You got to hang on because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy this morning. And he said unto them, what man there saying you that have a sheep, one sheep? Now we're talking about things that happen on the Sabbath day. You got to realize that if we live by the code of the law, there was nothing to be done on the Sabbath day. And I'm going to just show you a couple things here interesting. Hang on there, okay? Because it's going somewhere. On the Sabbath day, all work was forbidden. And healing was considered a work. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange that healing was considered a work? You couldn't even drag a chair across the floor because you were working. You couldn't prepare something to eat unless you had done it before because it was considered working. So on the Sabbath, all work was forbidden. The Jewish law was precise. There were certain medical things that happened that could be attended to on the Sabbath day. A medical help could be given if a life was in danger, if breath was going out of them. They could give them medical assistance. If a woman in childbirth, hear this, Jenny, could be helped if she was giving birth to a child. Infection in the throat. Man, I don't know what that was about. But it could be attended to. Some kind of infection in the throat could be treated. A broken bone could not be attended to. So you're just going to have to hurt to the next day. If your bone's gouging out, you're going to have to just hurt to the next day. Because a bone that was broken couldn't be attended to. A cut could be wrapped in a plain cloth, but no healing ointment placed on it. Figure. Can you figure? You could wrap it up, but you couldn't put healing ointment on it. It couldn't be applied. Injury could be kept from getting worse, but could not be made better on the Sabbath day. So here is a man that was injured all of his life, standing in the midst of a synagogue, a gathering, a worship service, and Jesus was present to heal. God is present here today to heal you. In Mark chapter 2, the Bible said, when it's talking about the man that was the paralytic man that was born before and brought and lifted down through the tile and the roof and laid down to where Jesus was, the Bible said on that day when Jesus was there that the Lord was present. He was in the house. You can't have the presence unless he's in the house. Religion doesn't create that. It creates a mirage of what's real. It's the anointing. It's the presence of God. It's the presence of Jesus. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, go back to 12. This man who had a sheep, and if he had fallen into a pit, Melody, would that man not leave and go and lift that sheep out of the pit? Well, what could they say? They'd all been in situations like that. So here was a sheep stuck in a pit in a worship service. There are some of you here today present in this room. Your life is in a pit. And there's a Savior. There's a Christ. There's a living God reaching out to you. And he's extended his healing grace to you and telling you today, rise up. This is your day. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. Lord, help me get through this so people can hear it. Lord, I want people to hear this. Help people to hear it. Not to harden their hearts. That's what the Pharisees did. They hardened their hearts against what Jesus was saying. They were just like there, like water on ducks' backs, just rolling off of them. Just waiting. Just waiting for a moment to find out. So Matthew chapter 12, Jesus confronts him here and he says, would you not get that sheep out of the pit if he had fallen into the pit? So this morning, what could they say? Yes, they would do that. They'd do that. It's not about the Sabbath. It's not about religion. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about what he came to do. Amen? Jesus came, and there was a man in this midst that had a withered hand. There are some of you here this morning that you're in this mist and you have a withered hand. You have a withered hand. Well, what's a withered hand? That means it's dry, it's deprived of life. It's stiff, unable to move. It's shrunk down to size. It's shriveled up. There's atrophy. Oh, think about it. There's a decrease. It's a decrease in that body organ or that tissue. Due to a disease, due to an injury or lack of use. So that paralysis sets in. It wastes away and deteriorates. Let me tell you what. That eventually affects everything in your body. Because if you've ever had an injury in your body, it affects a lot of things. Right, JoJo? Because you give to that injury and you spend your whole life giving to that injury. So you lean on other organs or other parts of the body that normally that have a routine, a normal function, but now they're outside of that because you're leaning more on that. So it affects the whole body. How many knows that an injury can affect our whole body, affect our whole life? Drug addiction can affect your whole life, not just you, but your family, your kids. Is anybody here today? You act like I'm not preaching real. I said, do you not know that drug addiction affects your whole family? Let's go a little bigger. It affects our whole community. It affects our whole culture. Because there's a generation of people who've been crippled by their addiction. And they're struggling. They have a withered hand. And because of that paralysis, because of that struggle, because of that disease, because of that, it creates a lack, a low self-esteem. The people here today that stand in our midst that feel like they're not entitled to grace, or they're not a recipient of grace, doesn't mean that we've been entitled to anything, but we're definitely not a recipient. So it limits us. It limited him to reach out and take a hold of what was before him. This shriveled hand, anybody who's had any kind of paralysis in their body, again, it affects your whole body, but it keeps you from reaching out physically and taking a hold. Physically, naturally, and spiritually today, if there are people in our midst who have a withered hand, who have a withered heart, who have a withered life in your life, remember the lame man in Lodabar, remember Mephibosheth? He ended up in a land that he didn't belong in. It was called Lodabar, but really he was a prince. He should have been in the palace. He ended up in the palace, but David had to get him out of the pit. So there's a God here today willing to get you out of your pit so you continue to live God's purpose in the palace and the purpose that he has created for you. Amen. I'm going to have to preach to myself. I'm just going to preach to myself. I'm going to preach to myself a few minutes. Because I've been crippled. I've had crippleness in my life. I've had a withered hand. I've had a withered life. So what's yours today? What is it that is withered in your life? An inferiority that keeps you held back? I talk to people all the time that says, I can't. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm not this and I'm not that. It's all given. We know. None of us are worthy. But grace in the cross made you a recipient of the miraculous. Jesus said you can rise up and be healed in the name of the Lord. If I have to come back there and preach it right down on you, I believe I will. I believe I will, Dakota. Some of you need to get this. You come Sunday after Sunday. You're a spectator. You leave the same way you came. God says he made more for you than that. So, something in your life that has limited you from being whole, productive, from enjoying that blessing that God intended you to walk and live in. Jesus exceeds our limitations. He exceeds our expectations. Oh, wow, Jesus, thank you. Traditions limited people. Tradition said this man couldn't be where he was because he had an illness. He had a deformity, so he couldn't be where he was. Traditions limited women. They couldn't be in the presence like this congregated. In other words, listen, traditions limited young people out of this. And I thank God that God has quickened the heart of some people to know that this ministry is just as much about kids as it is you grown-ups. I don't believe in this big church, little church. We're all the church. We have things for our younger kids, But I believe in worshiping together. I believe in praying together. I believe in lifting our hands together. I want kids to experience that. I want them to experience that powerful presence of the Lord. I don't want them just to wake up as a teenager and said, what have I missed out on? I want them to know about the glory. I want them to know about the presence. I want them to know about the healing. So, traditions limited that. Failure and defect can limit that in our life to us and defeat us. Jesus has a powerful purpose and plan this morning that can only be met as He reaches out to you and as you stretch out to Him. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And I want you to, don't answer it out loud, but I'm going to ask you a real question. How many here in this room has said, Lord, I'm not worth it? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. Because I've said that. I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it. Whoa. Do you know that you're worth more than a sparrow? And God knows where every sparrow falls. Every sparrow that falls, the scripture said, is He not aware of that sparrow? And how much more valuable are you to Him? Jesus died for you. He didn't die for nothing. He died for something and someone. So today, listen, it's about knowing that, yes, we have sinned. Yes, we have failed. Yes, we have placed limitations on us. But Jesus is saying today, it's time to rise up. It's time to get up. It's time to stand up. And know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Lord, stir somebody's heart today to get a hold of this. Let me tell you what you can do. You can do what Jesus says you can do. A lot of times we do this and we do it. And we just do it because the pastor said to do it. And, you know, I'll do it. If I don't do it, he's going to look at me and say, well, now what's wrong with him? So I want you to look at somebody and I want you to mean this with your eyes and your heart. I can do it because he says I can do it. I want you to do that. Turn to somebody. I didn't speak in Greek. I didn't speak in some other language. I spoke in plain English, I think. You can do it because Jesus said you can do it. You can do it because in verse 3, Jesus turned to the man. He turned to the man. He's turning to the woman. He's turning to the boy. He's turning to the girl. He's turning to somebody here today. And he's looking at you right in the eye. And he's saying, aren't you tired of living a limited life? Aren't you tired of living this way? In verse 3, that's the first step. To get up. To get up. To activate your faith. Well, I just want God to just come down and jerk me by the hair and just throw me up the altar and just slam all over me. No, that ain't going to happen, I'm afraid. Jesus is going to confront you and he's saying, if you want this bad enough, rise up. Go after it. If you want it, go after it. Do you want it? Go after it. So, your potential isn't based on what you're going through right now. That excludes some people. I've talked to some people here recently, a great deal of time, one-on-one, who has limited themselves because of what they can't figure out. Because what they're really trying to do is they're trying to look at Jesus through a narrow lens, a religious lens. They're trying to look at him through a traditional lens Well, it wasn't done that way before. Or I don't understand it, so that means it's not real. No, that doesn't mean it's not real. It means it is real. Maybe you just haven't experienced that yet in your life. But God's all about that. But we're trying to, some trying to figure God out. If I can figure it all out, then listen, I'll be about it. No, you're never going to be a place in your life where you've got it all figured out. I've been in ministry 40 years and I haven't figured it all out. And my son preaches to me all the time. My daughter preaches to me all the time. And I have to say, ouch, Myra, I have to say amen. But let's own it, friends. Let's own it. Let's put it where it is. Let's be real. Everybody shout real. Does anybody see Mickey Mouse around here today? Goofy or Pluto run around this room? Does anybody hear the Disney theme song going off? Because you're not in Disney World. You're living in a real world. And the world has told you that you can't. The world has told you you can't. Religion has told you you can't. And some of us has limited our life with Christ or our hopes of finding Christ or finding that miracle because our present limitations. And some this morning, you've allowed your situations, your condition right now to limit God's best in you. Your present unbelief, your present addiction, whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever that is, there's a list of them. It could be shopping, it could be gambling, you're playing the lottery. Is Steve here? Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I promise. Do I have your permission? Come here. He's coming up here saying, I'm in trouble. I know I'm in trouble. Because this man didn't allow people's limitations on his life to keep him from potential that God wants his life to be about. Because Steve knew there was more. And he allowed a mindset, maybe. Is that true, Steve? So this whole life change, physically, has been, you have told me yourself, been about a mental life change, not just a physical, seemingly. Is that true? So what the world said he couldn't do, with God's help, Steve has said, I can do. Amen? Amen? This man has been a warrior. He's been a soldier. Trying to accomplish a better life. And this is what he told me. And he's going to live by what he said, but this is what he told me. He said, so I can better serve Christ. So I can better be a servant and live for him. I'm proud of you. Proud of you. Some of you here this morning have allowed your present traditions to limit you. Something that you were raised in. But it's not gospel. It's not biblical. It's just things that you have been taught. Doesn't have anything to do with Scripture. It's just traditions. It's been, and sometimes it's good to hang on to traditions. Sometimes it's good to embrace those and remember those. But if our traditions are keeping us from God's best, then we got to understand it's time to rise up and expect beyond that. Some of us here, past failures have limited you. You've messed up in your past. And you've canceled the future with God in His presence because of your past. Some of you here today in a current wrong relationship. Let me backtrack that. You're in a current wrong relationship and it has disqualified you. It has limited you from God's best plan for your life. I said God's best plan for your life. Some of you here today, you have low value. You've been beat down in life. You've been beat down. You've been told by everybody around you, since school, since your parents, that you're a nobody. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never do anything. And all your life, that's all you've heard. All your life, that's all you've heard is negativity. All your life, you've heard that God can't use you. You're too much of a mess. But there is a message in that mess. It's time for you to rise up. Get up. Aren't you tired of sitting in the same place your whole life? Limited by what people say you can't do. People who change the world are people who realize where they've been and who they are and what they can do in the future. Change the world. Your low value. Jesus said, it's time to rise up. 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 Everybody say, rise up. Everybody say, rise up. I've done too much, Pastor. Sounds all well and good, but I've done too much. I messed up too much. Sin can't reduce your value. It doesn't. Listen, let me say that again. Sin can't reduce your value. It can limit the effectiveness of your life, but it cannot limit the value that God has for you. Because it doesn't matter what you have done in this world, God will never love you any less than what He loves you. He just loves you, warts and all. He just loves you. Get it. Get it. Turn to somebody and say, just get it. He loves you. But sickness can't reduce your value. No matter what you're going through today, it can't reduce your value. God loves you and He cares for you. And there's a miracle waiting for you this morning. There is a powerful blessing waiting on you this morning. So I'm interested to know which one part of the congregation are you today? Are you the one that's sitting here and saying, this sounds good, Pastor, but I got to go get my hamburger as soon as this service is over with? Guess what? You're not going to rise up. Sorry. It might be cold. But if our thoughts are more about what's going to happen a little bit later on than what we need, really need right now, what you really need is Jesus. A hamburger will do in a crunch when you're hungry, but Jesus will keep lasting on and on and on and on and on. It's better than any fish and chips. It's better than any barbecue. It's better than any party you can have here in this earth. Some of you just need a good Jesus party. You need to rise up and lock arms with the Savior, and you need to just have yourself a good dance and have yourself a good time and let the Lord sing over you and let the Lord bless you, pick you up, give you strength so you can keep walking in the plan God has for you. Tracy, I don't remember the last time you were blessed to be able to be here, but it's been a while. But you're here today. And I know you've told me for a while that you want to be here. And I believe that. You wouldn't have been here this morning. But no matter what you think that your limitations are, God's power and His grace reaches beyond those things and saying, today you can rise up. You can rise up and live out the purpose and plan that God has for your life. How many know that to be true? I want us just to lift our hands to Him right now. Just worship the Lord right now. Just take a second to worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord right now. Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. We expect extraordinary things from God without necessarily an extraordinary effort on our part. Just worship the Lord. Just take a second to worship the Lord. Come on, worship Him. Engage Him right now. Engage Him. Engage Him. Engage the Lord right now. The Lord knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you have, the limitations you have placed, other people have placed on your life. He knows the limitations of religion, tradition. Listen, there's nothing traditional about what's going on here this morning. The very things that we're walking in, things that I've been walking in the last several years, have been so contrary to what I was traditionally taught or religiously taught. But God told me to live a dream so big that only He could fulfill. And then when it is fulfilled, He'll get the glory for it. Because God is about having you live and fulfill dreams in your life, friend. A dream to work in a ministry, to have part, put my hands to the plow and work in a ministry that God gave. And I appreciate that, Brother Henry. I know you had that dream, brother. I know you're here because God placed something big in your heart and your life. Well, God's placed something big in your life, and I want to see this morning. We know that God can do extraordinary. You know that. You're here. You know that this morning. You're not, listen, anytime through this service, I haven't, listen, anything that I've said has never been like condescending. Are knowing that, listen, I've been there. I've done things. I could be like Paul. I'm the chief of all sinners. I've done things that I wouldn't even care to mention to people. Listen, I wouldn't want to. They wouldn't understand anyway. So listen, friend, it's not about your past. It's about your present. It's about what God wants to do in your future. I know what God can do. I know what He can do if you give Him a chance. I know what he'll do if you rise up and say, God, I'm going for the gold. I'm going after it. I'm not worried about what people say. That man with the withered hand, how many times he probably side-kissed his eyes and said, what do these men think of me? But Jesus had his attention. Can you think about that? For a second, how many is here this morning you need a miracle from God? Raise your hand. Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. That's the only one God can help. I'll be honest with you. That's the only person that God can help. If you're here playing or you're here saying, well, I don't listen. Be honest. How many here need a miracle from God? I don't know what that miracle is called. It might be in your family. It might be in your marriage. It might be in your finances. It might be in your own personal ministry. I don't know what it is, but how many need a miracle from God? God's confronting you today. He's confronting you today. Just lift, keep your hand lifted up right now. That's you. That's a step. That's stretching your hand. That's stretching your hand. You say, well, listen, how can a man stretch his hand if he's never used his hand? I don't understand that, but one thing I do understand, when Jesus spoke to him directly and he said, stretch out your hand, there was a powerful element that mixed with this man's faith. That virtue mixed with that man's faith. As he reached his hand, as he made his stand of faith, something was loosed in his life. And this man's hand straightened out just like the other hand. Just like the other hand. Woo! Just like the other hand. Just like the other hand. Just like the other hand. Purpose. Purpose. Walking in God's plan. Oh, God has something amazing for you, friend. Listen, don't throw it out. Don't walk away from it. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't limit what God can do in you and through you. If you stretch out your hand, That's where your miracle is today. And I'm going to ask you to do something powerful this morning. I'm going to ask you to go beyond. And I want you to do more than stretch your hand. I want you to make a step toward Him. And I want us to all come down here and we're going to all pray. We're going to all pray for the miraculous this morning. If that's you, you're already coming. That's fine. You don't have to wait for me to count. I want you to come right now. You need a miracle from God. You need a miracle from God. Come on. Right now, you need a miracle from God. Right now, come. You need a miracle. There's people going to pray for you right now. There's people going to pray for you. People going to pray for you right now. People praying. There's people coming all over this room. Maybe we all need to be here. Then there's nothing wrong with that. But believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe Him. Believe Him. Believe Him. I need all the workers. I need people here that are on fire and connect with Jesus to come and agree and lay hands on people and pray with them this morning.